May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please do take a seat. My time at St. Peter's is coming to an end, and soon you will have a new pastoral assistant. In just a few weeks, my husband and I are moving to a small village on top of a wooded hill just outside of Oxford. We will do this via a quick trip to another small village, this one by the sea. Our gospel reading today also centres on the sea. It is one of my favourites, not only because it involves water and boats, but it also involves our beloved patron, our beautifully fallible St. Peter. To put our gospel into context, St. Matthew writes that the disciples have moved from a momentous day with the feeding of the 5,000 directly to the boat on the Sea of Galilee and the storm. The disciples are exhausted, having been awake for most of the night. We can imagine their tired arms, having been working strenuously to keep their small boat on course in the middle of the sea, in the midst of a vigorous storm. It is important to remember that St. Matthew is writing at a time when Peter has already been crucified, and it is very dangerous to be a Christian. St. Matthew's church is very much like the small boat in the middle of the sea, being clobbered from all sides, weathering a storm of persecution. When Jesus walks towards the disciples, meeting them in the middle of the sea, they struggle to believe what they are seeing. Even with Jesus right there in front of them, so close that they could reach out and touch him, they still struggle with their faith. I am intrigued by this passage. As miracles go, walking on the water has to be up there. But within our gospel reading, we also see closely into the relationship Jesus has with his disciples and the relationship that they have with him. Peter clearly loves Jesus. I see Peter's relationship with Jesus being like that of a younger brother. Jesus draws Peter out of himself, showing him different ways of being, helping him to realise just what he is capable of. I've always wondered what it must feel like to walk on water. I love the sea, and being near, being on, and being in the water is gloriously nourishing for me. That is why, even though I have very little time before I move to Oxfordshire and start my training, I must go down to the sea. There is a place I found on the Cornish coast that is sacred to me. It is my thin place, a place where I feel the love of God surround me like the incoming tide. One of the many reasons I love Cornwall is that it was here that I learnt to love the sea. It was here that I was drawn out of myself, where I was shown different ways of being, and where I was helped to realise just what I am capable of. In his poem, Sea Fever, John Masefield wrote, "I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky. And all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. The lonely world, the church, our ship, and Christ, our star." our beautifully fallible St. Peter is really like all of us. Jesus asked Peter to believe that he can walk on water. Peter believes for a moment, and for a moment he succeeds. But then he struggles. He doubts and he falls. Letting his fear in, Peter cries out to Jesus in his doubt, and Jesus is there with Peter. He is there with him in the storm. He is there with him, and he saves him. Jesus asks us to believe, and we do, but we also struggle, and we fall. It was my godparents who taught me how to surf. The first few times I struggled and I fell, but now I can surf. It doesn't mean I'm always able to walk on water, but I have the confidence to try, and I know that if I struggle and fall, it's okay. I'm not alone. I simply need to have faith and keep trying. I'm taking my husband down to Cornwall with me next week for a couple of days, and it will be for the first time. And I am very excited. I'm hoping that he will find it a special place, just like I do. My family and godparents drew me out in Cornwall, and I'm hoping to draw him out. But there are greater changes afoot, because in a few weeks I will be drawn out further as we move to Oxford. I start my new college, which will be a challenge for me and an even bigger uprooting for my husband. There are big changes afoot here at St. Peter's too, as your new pastoral assistant, Matthew, will begin his time with you once I have left. I've met Matthew already, and I think you have a wonderful year ahead of you with him. John Masefield's Tall Ship reflects the long history of the boat as one of the earliest symbols for Christianity, and it is important to remember that a ship is not a static symbol. It is a vessel used to get somewhere. Jesus and his disciples were crossing the sea so they could get to the other side, so they could minister to the people there too. Jesus was the disciples' guiding star, and they in turn were beacons for others, and those others were themselves beacon in their turn. Down in Oxford, here at St. Peter's, and out and about in our everyday lives, we all have people who will help us. I'm very lucky I have my family, my mother and my sister, who are here from Gloucestershire this morning. I have my husband, and I'll have Bishop Humphrey and the team over in Cuddeston. And my husband has me and our friends and family. And Matthew, your new pastoral assistant, will have Father Ralph and Reverend Julie, and he'll also have all of you here. All I can say is that having you all here with me this year has been truly wonderful. It's been an incredible journey. And what we all have, me, you, Matthew, all of us, we all have Jesus walking alongside us, and we all have the ability to support one another as the body of Christ. Sometimes it can feel like we are alone. Sometimes what we are trying to do can feel as though we are attempting to walk on water. And sometimes it can feel like we are succeeding, while others it feels like we are struggling. But as with our gospel reading, Jesus is always with us. And sometimes it just takes a little faith to realise that. Amen.